It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women step out of the closet to live authentically as gays and lesbians, freeing you from the feelings of guilt and shame. Rick's heart-centered approach is loaded with bankable advice and take action tips for living powerfully on the other side of the closet door. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, thought-provoking insights, and diverse perspectives for living out and proud. Pull up a chair and spend an inspiring hour in the Coming Out Lounge, stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons.
And here we are. Happy Halloween, everyone. And, you know, as we venture into this day of fun and trick-or-treating and dressing up and getting to go back to a little bit of our childhood, even if we are adults, I want to beg everyone to kind of remember some of those scary things in life. Those things that scare us to death, that keep us from going and being who we are. And those things can be anything from, oh my gosh, I've got to go in the locker room and change clothes the first time that we're in middle school or high school for those PE classes, to, my goodness, I'm getting up on a stage and performing. Or maybe it's just raising your hand that very first time in class. But today we're going to talk about something that really puts a lot of fear into a lot of people. Today we're going to talk about these perceptions that because we are gay or lesbian or transgender or bisexual, that somehow, some way, we are not accepted in the eyes of our maker. Now, I say our maker because I believe in truly letting everyone believe in the way they believe, whether you're a believer in God or you're a Christian or whether you're a Buddhist, or all the different things, it makes no difference to me. But at the end of the day, one of the things that most of us who come out of the closet to declare our sexuality, 9 times out of 10, one of the biggest chasms we have to cross is the belief that somehow by standing truthfully in our sexuality, that we are not accepted in the eyes of our maker. And because of that acceptance, we often battle for years on end whether we should come out of the closet or not. And because of those beliefs that our maker made a mistake in some way, shape, and form of making us gay or lesbian, that we are not good enough. And today we're going to talk about how those feelings erupt, how those feelings can be overcome, and how through the beautiful work that my guests are doing, we can begin to heal the wounds and ask everyone to repent. So today I'm going to bring forward a couple of beautiful people that have truly started to make a difference in this world around this issue of religious freedom and this freedom to be sexually who we are. These two individuals have come together to create a force, a soul force, and to create a project called the Identity Kit Project that help everyone from all walks of life and all religious beliefs truly begin to understand how we can all thrive in the face of this diverse world that we call religion and sexuality. So without further ado, I'm going to bring my guests forward. And if you have anything that you would like to comment on, tweet on, just remember that the tweet hashtags for the Coming Out Lounge are CO Lounge and hashtag pound Coming Out Lounge. And I want to go ahead and bring forward Crystal and Jay Mason from Soul Force and the Identity Kit Project. Hello, both of you. Welcome to the show today. I'm so glad to have you on board, and looking forward to our discussion. So, Crystal, how are you?
I am great. It's so good to be here. Thanks so much for inviting us. I'm looking forward to the discussion.
Absolutely, Crystal. And, you know, ever since you and I touched base a few weeks ago, I've been truly excited about this conversation. And knowing that you're coming to Southern California with your beautiful program here in just a couple of weeks, I can't wait to meet you in person. So I'm going to let you kind of kick off and kind of just tell your story and what brought you to doing this work with Soul Force and with the Identity Kit Project.
You know what? I started this process when I decided to come out to my church. And like I told you over the phone, I was raised Seventh-day Adventist, which is a very fundamentalist, bordering on evangelical religion. And in that religion, I was raised as a performer. I got up on stage and I sang. And you know, my music and my image was transmitted worldwide on some of their broadcasting networks. And when I came out, I learned that I wouldn't be allowed to perform this in the same way that I did before because I was a quote-unquote practicing homosexual. And the pastor that told me that in my face, he stood there in the church foyer after I had performed at a youth conference at his church, and he watched me cry, and he watched me, you know, pour my heart out to him. And his only consolation was, you know, you have to choose either the church or you choose to be yourself. And for me, and you know, what I brought to Soul Force and what I bring to the Identity Kit is that there isn't a difference between my spirituality, my sexuality, and my religion. Spirituality and sexuality go hand in hand, and pardon my French, but you know, damn the person who tries to separate those things. And what I see in our young adults these days is they're suffering. They're not able to figure out how to separate these two entities as their church leaders are telling them. And so the paths that they are taking now are very destructive, and they are unable to see the difference between where their church begins and where their personality ends. And so that's why I was with Soul Force, and that's why I'm here with the Identity Kit. We're presenting a tool for these young adults to be able to understand what the Bible really says, who they are, what their political beliefs can look like, and what their next step can be in the spiritual process and coming out as an LGBTQ Christian.
Well, and this is so, I mean, just listening to you, Crystal, I have to say this is so powerful because in my work with individuals coming out of the closet, and in the intro I kind of already alluded to this, this is one of the biggest chasms we cross because we have been so ingrained, and it doesn't matter whether you're fundamental Adventist or Catholic or Baptist, no matter which religion you fundamentally come from in your upbringing, homosexuality is definitely one of those things that, you know, you are going to hell no matter what if this is how you live your life. And I think to give young people, and not just young people, but to give anyone the ability to really go examine this at a deeper level and to not separate their sexuality and their spirituality or their religion from who they are is a really powerful place to be. So I know we have your partner in crime, Jay Mason, on the line as well. And I'd love to welcome you, Mason, to the call as well and have you kind of give a little input before we go to break. We'll go to break in probably another 2 or 3 minutes, but I'd love to hear your version of why you're doing the work you're doing, Mason.
Okay, well, hello, everybody. I'm so glad to be here as well, as Crystal said. So for myself, sort of similarly to Crystal, I grew up in a house where I think in some ways, or in a family, I would say that religion was very important. Where our stories differ is I grew up in a household that had a Christian parent and a Muslim parent. And so within my mother's family line, we have 3 pastors or preachers on that side. And within my father's side, we're all part of the Nation of Islam. For me, when I sort of came out, because of sort of the interactions that I had with people around my identity with Islam, because of the tenets of Islam and being able to constantly be in practice around LGBTQ issues, or not LGBTQ issues, but being in communication around your connection to God, the actual LGBTQ piece was not as much of a hindrance versus with a Christian family, which I think is something that many people don't hear. Right, that there are different, even within Islam, there are different reactions that people have around LGBTQ identity. For me, as a social service worker for a long time, I was working with a youth center in Philadelphia and did a lot of outreach with young people who were LGBTQ as well as providers of care. So whether that be people in church, whether that be teachers, whether that be group home workers, whether that be social workers, whether that be doctors, whoever. And a lot of those folks had lots of struggle, not around trying to want to keep young people safe, but particularly about what does it mean if I affirm a young person's LGBTQ identity. So even if I was working in a place and talking to people, where their jobs were not rooted in faith, technically. As Crystal was saying, you cannot separate that from the person. And so the conversation always came back to religion and how do I, you know, reconcile this with my religion. So for me, I found SoulForce, and or rather someone from SoulForce found me, and I got connected with them. And so I've been working with them for about the last year and a half, almost 2 years now. Crystal and I were both able to be on the Equality Ride together this past spring, which sort of takes a whole bunch of LGBTQ young adults and allies on a trip across the country for about 2 months and stop off at religious institutions with anti-LGBTQ policies. I think that also, not just seeing stuff and how it impacted Philadelphia, but seeing it across the country was also right. A very impactful thing.
Yeah, I think this is great because this shows the power of really doing grassroots sort of work to really get to the heartland, whether it's the middle U.S. or, you know, coast to coast, however you show up. So we got about a minute till we go to break for the first break. And I love that both of you have brought this piece to the conversation about how do you separate or do you even separate? And I remember being in an event not long ago where a pastor from a Unitarian church in LA talked about homosexuality and coming out of the closet being one of the most spiritual experiences that anyone can have in their life. And that's always stuck with me. And I probably have shared that story numerous times on this radio show. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about, is it necessary to separate? And what is the spirituality and the religion of coming out of the closet? Because this is so vitally important for so many people when they do go through this process. So when we come back from the break, we will take this further and talk about spirituality, religion, and homosexuality. We will be right back after the break.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth, with coming out coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski. A live 2-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski. Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Have you been laid off, fired, downsized, right-sized, or re-engineered out of a job? Are you unemployed or anticipate that possibility? Then tune in for Successfully Unemployed, hosted by Alan Sherwood, MBA, President of Sherwood Consulting Service. Successfully Unemployed will provide you a hope-filled and comprehensive approach to the job search process from an author who's experienced it all. Alan and his guests will cover all dimensions of a job search: physical tasks, mental attitude, emotional health, even one's spiritual perspective. All must be integrated in order for a person to be successfully unemployed so they can then be successfully employed. This show is designed to help you move forward from job loss to finding or creating more fulfilling work. For more on Alan Sherwood, MBA, and the show, check out his website, successfullyunemployed.com. Then join us for Successfully Unemployed with Alan Sherwood, MBA. Thursday nights at 8, 7 Central here on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to The Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clements.
And we are back on this Halloween day talking about a little bit of a scary thing that most of us have to face when we do come out of the closet. And it's the choice between being authentically who we are and aligning who we are with our religion or our spirituality. And today with me, I've got Crystal and Jay Mason from the Identity Kit Project and Soul Force, a very powerful organization that is doing, taking a grassroots approach to getting down in the trenches with this conversation and going to different venues and churches to have the one-on-one conversation about spirituality, religion, and sexuality. So once again, welcome back to both of you. And I'd like to throw this first question to Crystal, because you and I have an affinity. We were both raised Seventh-day Adventist.
And hard to believe, right?
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. You get connected and then we find out all these things. So it was very amazing when I found that out. But what was probably the hardest thing for you to reconcile within your faith and who you were authentically as a sexual person?
I think the hardest thing for me to reconcile were the relationships that I seemed to lose out on once I came out. I was one of those individuals who believed my faith blindly, and maybe it was a way to get through some of the harder things in my life, like my father passed when I was 15, and I was at a boarding school that was just so faith-centered. And then when I went to college, I made these fantastic friendships. And the hardest thing for me to do when I came out was look at my friends in the eye and say, you know what, this is how I feel about who I am. This is how I feel about our relationships. And I hope that doesn't take away from the integrity of what we've had. And seeing or feeling people not respond to me as I hoped, really took a toll on me, took a toll on my spirituality and my relationship with God. And I think what brought me out of it was, again, my relationship with God and the things that I had learned when I was younger at Seventh-day Adventist schools and about the Bible and about just having faith and I guess the grieving process and how that is a new rebirth all its own.
Well, and I think this is powerful because we get truly bashed in so many ways as homosexuals or bisexuals, transgender. You know, I'm going to speak from the homosexual perspective, but we get bashed by so many, quote, Christians about our life. But it is really amazing. And I remember the moment I started to tune back into my own spirituality and religious values and said, really, God, is this really the way it's supposed to be? And when I started having those dialogues again with God in my own way, from my own perspective, there was a peace that began to come over my life because I realized I was reaching back out. I had walked away. I had walked away in college. Mm-hmm. And like you, I had gone to Adventist schools. I had gone to Adventist boarding schools and Adventist college, and I left midway in that. And it was one of those times when I thought, oh my God, I'm never going to have a relationship with God again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I suddenly realized by being true and honest and coming to Him in my own way.
You know what? It's a lot, in the Christian world, we have this this mentality, you know, where we are supposed to be broken. We're supposed to go through the process of like a refiner's fire. You know, we're supposed to be the ones to go the hard path and pick up our cross and carry it. And I would say that this struggle, this saying, you know what, I'm going to face myself and find out who I am sexually and spiritually. I'm going to find out who I am instead of covering it up with one scripture after another and one dogma belief after the other, you know, completely putting a glaze over this beautiful thing that God has made me. That is a significantly more difficult path than the other way around. And it also takes me back to this thing that Dan Savage said, and I know that Dan Savage is known for hating a bit on the Christians, and I guess he has a really good reason. But the other side of it is that there are those of us out here who have found a way to sit comfortably within our faith and our spirituality. But he said that maybe the fight isn't so much as begging for their forgiveness as them begging us for their forgiveness, for our forgiveness of the things that they have said about us, about forcing us down this really tough path, because nobody really wants to be excluded. Nobody wants to be excluded. And the idea that this is a choice or something that we have to push out of ourselves is ludicrous. It's a large lie.
Right. I think that also brings up another really great point, Crystal, that I think a lot of times people will come into this idea of sort of pitting against like LGBTQ folks and people of faith, in the sense that if I'm an LGBTQ person or if I'm in support of LGBTQ folks and I've heard all this different stuff from these religious spaces, that people of faith must want to hurt LGBTQ people, that there's this intentionality around it.
Yes.
And I think sort of in that same way, right, that when I was dealing with lots of young people whose parents had kicked them out of their houses, or when I was dealing with people whose, you know, whose social workers felt like they could not help them, it wasn't, again, people that were hating these young people, but rationally felt in their heart of hearts that what they were doing was the best thing to stop this person from being sent to hell. And so I think that once we get into a place of not thinking that people of faith are like trying to intentionally and cause that harm, but are in some ways unintentionally could be parts of harm, because they're doing it out of love. And so like, if you can speak to people in a way that I know that what you are doing, you know, what, you know, is coming out violent, it's coming out this and it's coming out that, but I know deep in your heart that you actually want to love this person. And so how can we understand both LGBTQ folks that may or may not be religious or may not be secular, as well as understanding people of faith that, again, in heart of hearts are not always necessarily intentionally trying to cause harm to other people.
Yeah, and I think this is a very valid point that Mason just brought up. When we operate from a space of love and understanding, and as a core energy coach, one of the things I work with people on is getting to this energy of, it's what I call a level 5 energy, which is a win-win scenario. How can we make this a win-win conversation where we both share our beliefs and our views around homosexuality and religion, and then we come to this beautiful space of, some will say it's agreeing to disagree or respecting to respect, you know, whatever it may be. But it is this, rather than being dogmatic and fighting and conflict, just, okay, can share your point of view. And I think this is one of the things that gets missed so often, no matter whether you're talking about gay marriages or homosexuality or Republicans versus Democrats. It doesn't really matter. And, you know, given the way things have turned out over the last couple of days in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy, and seeing the governor of New Jersey talk about how supportive President Obama has been in the midst of the final days of the campaign trail, it kind of made me proud that I was going to get to do this show today, because it's like, this is what reaching across the aisle is truly all about. Yeah. When you can grab hold of each other and go, we're just humans. Yes. Bottom line, we're humans.
And so that sentiment is exactly what Mason and I have tried to reconstruct with our workshops, in that, you know, we're going into these somewhat hostile environments for LGBTQ people, knowing that that we are feared, or there's a bias against us, and knowing that we want them to take a step forward to protect their youth that are being homeless, youth that are being ostracized in, you know, school situations, youth that are taking a step further and committing suicide. We are going into those spaces and saying, you know what, it's not about what you think the Bible says or what I think the Bible says, because we've gone down that path, you know, with the Equality Ride and Soul Force, we've gone down that path with many administrators and pastors and talked to them, you know, and said, you know, and found out that there's no common ground that we can reach. And you know what we have to do is put that aside and say, it's not even about what you believe and what I believe. It's about how we are going to keep this child in the church or in a supportive and affirming household, and be able to receive an education that's going to help them, you know, not so much this child is gay or trans or a lesbian, and now we have to work this horrible demon out of them. It's backwards. It's completely backwards. And so, well, you know,
it is backwards. And, you know, I know we've got just 2 minutes, so we're going to go to break, but I know having sitting on the board of directors for a teen home here in California, Operation Safe House, that, you know, the statistics that we see and the kids that we see coming through, and the statistics right now are 45 to 50% of kids that are out there homeless are LGBT youth kids. That is not acceptable. It is not acceptable, regardless of whether it comes from a religious perspective or where they're getting thrown out of the home. The bottom line is, anytime anyone gets rejected for who they are, and I know both of you are people of color, so you have a long history of this, but when the rejection comes forward, it is about some fear has come up from the person who is throwing the hatred or condemning the person. And quite honestly, this is where I, as a coach, flip that around and go, so who is that really all about? It has nothing to do with me if I'm the one being bashed. It has nothing to do with you if you're the one being bashed. It has everything to do with the person that's being bashed. So we've got 1 minute till we go to break. So I would really like to invite both Crystal and Mason to be prepared when we come back from break to throw out a couple of, I want to go there. I want to go to a couple of Bible verses and just kind of get some input of how you guys approach this and the workshops that you do. So we've got 30 seconds to go. I know right now you guys are going to be in California. You're going to be in Hollywood at the Seventh-day Adventist Church. You're going to be in Riverside, California, at UCR, at a couple of Unitarian churches. So for those who are interested in finding out more, we're going to give you the website here later in the cast. And I would invite you to come and listen to this powerful work that Soul Force and the Identity Kit Project is doing. We will be right back after the break.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with coming out coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
Why do I feel so lousy? Why aren't my medications working? Why can't my doctor figure me out? These are just a few of the questions Dr. Kevin Connors will be exploring in Dr. Kevin Connors Live on TogiNet.com. The author of the book, Help My Body Is Killing Me, solving the connections of autoimmune disease to thyroid problems, fibromyalgia, depression, ADD, ADHD, and more. He'll dig into these and many other conditions to dissect the mechanisms of your problems. Giving God the glory and looking for answers to make you look and feel better, to make you feel whole again. For more on him, his book, and the show, check out upperroomwellness.com. Never be satisfied with a diagnosis. There is always a reason behind it. And if you can alter the mechanisms that led you down your current path, we can change your future. It's Dr. Kevin Connors, live here on TogiNet.com. Believe in your fairy tale to make your zing come true.
I love it.
Debbie Glickman and Deanna Cohen know it. Join these soul sisters on TogiNet.com. Believe in your fairy tale to make your zing come true. Showcases two sides. One, to help entrepreneurs showcase their products and tell their story of their happily ever after. And two, to interview people who have realized their own fairy tale and doing something to benefit others. This show is here to help folks who have an idea and want to get it off the ground, as well as to inspire people to make the world a better place by doing something extraordinary or out of the box to help others. Both of these entrepreneurs have their own businesses and websites. With more information on their passions and successes, first for Debbie, FairyTaleWishesInc.com. And for Deanna, TheNextBigZing.com. Believe in your fairy tale to make your zing come true. With the Soul Sisters, Debbie Glickman and Deanna Cohen on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clements.
And we are back once again with two very powerful, impassioned people who really, excuse my French, give a damn about whether people can live in a society as homosexuals and be spiritually and religious focused. So we are back talking to Crystal and Jay Mason from the Identity Kit Project and Soul Force. And before we went to break, I had challenged both of our guests to come up with a Bible verse that they wanted to talk about and how they incorporate the Bible verses in the Bible that talk about homosexuality being a sin and going to hell and all this sort of stuff into the workshops and deliver them in a way that doesn't cause the controversy but opens the dialogue. So I'm going to start with you, Mason, and let you kind of take the floor. And then if you get to talk too long, I'm going to interrupt and say, okay, it's Crystal's turn. So go ahead.
Okay. So when I'm thinking about that, how do you talk about scripture in particular? There's two primary ways to talk about scripture. So the most popular way to talk about scripture in relationship to LGBTQ issues is the idea around defensive theology. And so what defensive theology says is there are six or seven scriptures within biblical texts that say, you know, being gay is sin, right? So when people try to relate that into all kinds, whether you're talking about Leviticus, whether you're talking about all these different ways that people talk about it. For me, and so, you know, what my more favorite sort of way to talk about scripture in scriptural analysis is talking about proactive theology. And so proactive theology says that LGBTQ folks are part of the fold that have been on this earth since the beginning. And right, because we've been on the earth since the beginning, as well as with other people, that means that we must also exist in that biblical text. Actually, one of our great members over at Soul Force who helped to start the first equality rhyme, Haven Heron, which has a really great way of looking at Genesis. So when we look at the creation story and all that kind of pieces, and what Haven said to us at some point was that, you know, in when we look at creation stories, we see that, you know, God created a day and night, right? What we don't think about is dawn and dusk. We don't think about these intricacies where there's this sort of like middle space in this gray area. And we accept that, you know, because we know that God created dawn and dusk, God also created these gray areas. In that same way, you know, can we also look at people in that way? Another great scholar that I'm really, I really love is this great person called Peterson Toscano. So I identify as a trans person, as a transgender person. And so Peterson Toscano puts on this fabulous play called Transfigurations, which looks specifically at transgender characters in the Bible. One of the arguments that Peterson puts forth in this play talks about, you know, that while there are different sort of interpretations of eunuchs are, which we know from Matthew 19 about how Jesus defines it, we know that eunuchs are sometimes people that are forced into being eunuchs based on someone else's hands. We know that some people are born eunuchs, whether they are intersex or trans themselves, or we know that people are eunuchs that take it on as part of their holy sort of rites. And so eunuchs in the Bible play a huge role, whether it's talking about the first Gentile convert into Christianity being a eunuch, which is a huge deal. Again, for this to be a transgender, gender nonconforming person that is welcomed to the kingdom of God and is seen as holy. Or if you're thinking about the first, the last Passover, in which Jesus tells someone, you know, tells the apostles, go out and find a man carrying a jug of water. Back in that time, who was carrying jugs of water? What kind of task was that? That was a woman's task. And so we're looking for this very gender nonconforming, very transformative person that is going to be out there, you know, that's going to stick out like a sore thumb and is responsible for where they're having their last Passover. So trans people in particular, whether, you know, as well as LGB folks, play huge roles and integral roles in the Bible. So to me, in that way, it's very undisputed in my mind about how I look at scripture.
Well, and I love how you brought this forward, because I don't know that most people would actually embrace that there's anything beyond the homosexual references in the Bible. And I love that you brought the transgender piece into it and the eunuchs and all aspects of sexuality into this, because I think transgenders definitely, and I just had a transgender individual on the show a couple of weeks ago, I think they get passed over and they don't get accepted as much in our community. And it's as big a struggle as anyone coming out of the closet. And I think this is beautiful that you've been able to show how a passage in the Bible actually addresses this. So I'm going to toss it now over to Crystal, and you get the floor now to come to it with your piece of scripture that you think could really be worked in and how you work it into a workshop.
Yeah. You know what? I really like to bring the Bible alive, just as Mason has done. You know, we've basically seen this panoramic view that has taken us to different parts of the Old Testament, and it's all very beautiful. And I know that when the Bible was first being written, it was the tradition for it to be spoken down from generation to generation, and so these words were holy because they were spoken, and the commas and the periods and everything like that had to be memorized from the previous person's vocal inflection. And when the Bible was actually written down, you know, we find that even in the Jewish tradition, that, you know, some of these periods and commas are still being argued over today. I think that this is telling for the way that we read Leviticus 18:22, where it talks about abomination. And the word abomination has been used against me so many times. I have one or two really close family members who will send me text messages once in a while of different Bible verses. And at first it cut really deep, and this was one of them, but I took the liberty to sit down and read about it. And one of the books that I picked up was David Helmeniak's What the Bible Really Says About Homosexuality. And Mel White also has a book around the same topic. And what we learn from dissecting and sitting down and reading is that, you know, they were really talking about cultural norms. We know that the children of Israel were a very dear people to God, and in that time he was trying to save them from themselves. He was by giving them rules about hygiene, about how to protect themselves, about how to wash themselves, about how to multiply as a people. He was giving them a one-up on other nations who didn't know about the cleanliness code, who didn't know that, you know, if you were going to spill your seed on the earth, then you weren't going to get a woman pregnant. And that meant that your people were going to shrink instead of growing and multiplying. And the things that are named as abominations in Leviticus 18 are all these things that are going to hinder the people from growth and succeeding. And one of those things just happens to be homosexuality or homosexual acts. And today, you know, we can sit down and argue about whether the Bible's definition of homosexuality and our definition of homosexuality are two completely different things. And I would agree that they are. But even deeper than that, we discover that an abomination was a form of a cultural norm, and defying those norms was not only hurting you, but also hurting your entire tribe. And I think, you know, aside from all this, I think it's hard to be as Bible literal as we want to be in you know, the days that we found ourselves in.
So. Well, I agree with that, and you know, it's interesting to watch Christianity and religions, and you know, back to our own Seventh-day Adventist heritage, as the splinter groups form off based on different interpretations of the Bible. And I guess as a human, for me, and you know, in my own spiritual path right now, part of what I find the beauty of being a human being is that we all get to form a opinion, and we all get to have the beautiful piece of choice of how we feel about things. And I just, you know, I always maintain that I look forward to the day that I won't have to do the work I'm doing, that I won't have to be a coming out coach. Mm. I also look forward to the day where religious freedom is truly religious freedom. Mm-hmm. And that it seems that way on the surface right now, but if we could step into this space where acceptance is acceptance, and mm-hmm. that's all it had to be, you know, mm-hmm. be so much different. So as you work through these, you know, issues and you do these workshops, I have to say it takes a lot of bravery to do what you guys do.
Thank you.
it has to be challenging when you walk into these, you know, workshops, sometimes in what I would call hostile territory.
Mm. I think the hardest thing has to do with the adult's perception of homosexuality. And, you know, this is one of those things that needs to be talked about and challenged when you're young, when you're in your youth, because then you have a greater sense of acceptance. But if you are allowed to grow up with these immature rudimentary views on homosexuality, that will, that immaturity will grow into fear, and that fear will then grow into tradition. And so it's not such a thing as logic or getting to know the person that you're sitting next to who is gay or lesbian or trans. It's I have a tradition of fear that keeps me from getting to know you. And being in the front of the room with that, of course it's terrifying, but my thought is that it needs to start, our grassroots movement needs to start with the young adults, because they're the ones that are still susceptible and are still open to hearing this truth.
Well, and this is interesting that you bring this up, because I've been battling through this myself over the last couple of weeks, and I shouldn't say battling. I've found it interesting how, and I guess now's as good a time as any to share this with the listeners. This Friday, November the 2nd, I will be on the Ricky Lake Show. I was pulled onto the show. We taped a couple of weeks ago, and the show will actually air live this Friday. But I was pulled on as the expert in coming out. And it's a really diverse show that we did. And we didn't get truly into any religious stuff. But I realized how suddenly I'm playing really big, and I'm on a big world stage now. And the fear came up. It's like, oh, my gosh, here we go. My name is going to be out there in a bigger way than it's ever been before. And I love that you shared this, Crystal, about what coming on to the stage and being in that space really does. Because I think sometimes we get so used to being in our world, and we tend to forget that each day we come out in some way, shape, or form. It doesn't matter if it's around homosexuality, gay, lesbian, whatever it may be. Each day we do come out. So we've got about a minute till we go to break. I want to come back from the break first to talk about the workshop specifically, but secondarily, I also want, you know, each one of you to just really give us a piece of what kind of transformations you've seen as you've been out there doing this work. Because I've found that the more open I am and the less issue I make of who I am as a gay man, that the more accepting people are. And it can be the off-the-cuff remark or whatever it may be. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the work and the power of what the Identity Kit Project and Soul Force is doing in our world. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with coming out coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
Connect with Juliana and connect with what lies beneath. Friday afternoons at 4 or 3 Central on toginet.com. Juliana is certified as a life coach who wants people to connect. Connect with what lies beneath, those truths and answers. And through her counseling practice, she has helped others find their personal power and fulfill their dreams. And she wants to do the same for you here on Connect with Juliana. Through intimate discussions, intriguing subject matters, and the expertise of her guests. For more on Juliana and her show, check out her website, connectwithjuliana.com. Juliana will cover it all. Nothing is off limits. She wants to know what matters to you. Make the connection. Tune into TogiNet to connect with Juliana to find out the facts that could be hidden beneath the surface. Connect with Juliana on TogiNet to make a quality connection in your life. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on toginet.com. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 Central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 Central on toginet.com.
Welcome Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens.
And we are back talking with Crystal and Mason from the Identity Kit Project and Soul Force. And before we went to break, I wanted to have each of them talk a little bit about the workshops and what they do. So, Mason, let's talk a little bit about Soul Force. Where can people find out more information about Soul Force?
So folks go on to soulforce.org. That's soulforce.org. They can go in and check out a whole bunch of the programs that we run, where we're sort of at in the world. And so the what Soul Force has done, so we were founded in about 18 years old, 18, 19 years old. And so we're founded by the wonderful Reverend Dr. Mel White. And so Dr. Mel White used to be a conservative speechwriter. So a speechwriter for conservative thought leaders around the country. So people like Jerry Falwell and other sort of folks. When he came out as an openly gay person, you know, regardless of his, sort of his own allegiances, of course, he lost his positions and his standing in these sorts of communities. So he started Soul Force as a nonviolence organization, which I think is really important to the mission of what we do, to really combat spiritual and political oppression that impacts LGBTQ folks. So that work happens nationally. So we, like I was talking about earlier, the Equality Ride, which was one of our major programs, where we take all these young adult leaders and sort of take them all around the country. But also we work with lots of religious denominational headquarters and different schools throughout the year to kind of make sure that we're able to create spaces that are safe for folks. I know when you were talking earlier about the sort of impact of these sorts of workshops and things like that, I'm going to speak not necessarily just to my work with Soul Force, but I think that's been such an amazing experience for me over the last year and a half. But I'm going to speak to the second time I actually ever did a workshop within a church community on LGBTQ issues. And so after I had finished this workshop, talking to people about scripture stuff, talking to people about what they can do in their churches or in their particular church, I remember a 70-something-year-old woman came up to me who was crying. And so I didn't, you know, she was sort of huddled in the back for most of the workshop. And she didn't say anything the entire workshop. And she came up to me, she said, you know, Mason, my nephew committed suicide because my sister and my other family members could not accept him. And she said, this is the first time that anyone has ever used the word gay in our church. And I'm so glad that you are here. Wow. I truly believe that this kind of work changes people's lives, not just for outside people that are allies or wanting to be allies to LGBTQ people, but for LGBTQ folks who also buy into the idea that they somehow or in some way are harmful or toxic to the outside world around them. And so I think that's a really important thing. Again, when I was talking about that proactive and defensive theology stuff, the proactive piece is so important to me, because it's not enough to say that these scriptures don't mean that you're sinful, but to also say that you are affirmed and you are exactly perfect, exactly, you know, in the ways that God made you, exactly as you are right now. I think that's a very important message for people to hear, which I've been able to be a part of with Soul Force and now with the Identity Kit.
So, Crystal, why don't you talk a little bit about what the Identity Kit Project is? Because I know it is actually a kit as well as a workshop.
Yeah, we have these wonderful kits that we're trying to find donors for. And basically, the Identity Kit is set out there to educate people on the truths of the Bible and also just about spirituality and religion in general. And so we've talked about different interfaith programs as well. And so with our new program, what we have are these kits that come with a booklet and a deck of cards and a sticker. And if you look on Rick Clemens, your website, you've got a beautiful picture of them up there. And that's what comes in the kits. And basically, it's an education tool that talks a bit through coming out issues, talks about how do you even start to address your religion and your spirituality. And even before it gets into all that, it talks about your orientation, gender identity, and what those things actually are. I know that growing up in an Adventist school, we never actually talked about we've not even talked about gender, much less gender identity. You know, I was a woman, so, you know, I was pretty much being pushed towards a path that meant that I was going to get married and stay at home with my kids. And that is stifling for a young self-esteem. And so with the book, we're also trying to empower young adults and let them know where they can find resources. A lot of the kids that will be receiving these kits don't have access to a community center like the Attic Youth Center here in Philadelphia or the William Way Community Center or other community centers in major cities around the U.S. If you go to Podunk, Pennsylvania, you know, they don't have a community center where they can go and sit amongst their peers. Their schools might not have a Queer Straight Alliance. And so the kit itself is meant to be that tool to guide the youth to safe websites that they can continue to learn about who they are and other people who share the same views as they do. And also support groups on how to instate Queer Straight Alliances in their school, how to start doing that safely without getting kicked out or reprimanded in a harsh and horrible way. So what we're doing is we're asking people to donate the cost of a kit. It's $20. And we will provide we will be able to provide a kit for a youth on our growing list. And so it's a very easy contribution and something that we're starting to do. The other side of the project is that, you know, we get to do these workshops like what we're doing in California. We started doing them here at the William Way Community Center in Philadelphia, and we'll continue to do them later on, hopefully at the Attic Youth Center in January. But you can find out more about that online at youridk.com/calendar. You can see the different places that we'll be in California. And if we're in your area, please come out. So many of these workshops are open to the public. And the biggest thing that we're going to be doing while we're out there is Slam the Hate Night, which is sponsored, co-sponsored by UC Riverside and La Sierra University. There's a very specific group called PRISM there that tried to be instated as a group on this conservative Christian Seventh-day Adventist campus and was told couldn't, not by the students, but by the administrators. And the rules have it in their books that, you know, if you are a group, the students get to decide if you are actually a solid school group or if not. And in this specific situation, this Queer Straight Alliance was denied not by the students but by the administrators. And so they are throwing this Slam the Hate Night. It's going to be hosted at UCR The Barn, and Mason and I will both be performing there because we love to perform. But specifically, it'll be about talking to these larger corporations, these schools, and corporations like Chick-fil-A, who think that, you know, they can stand up against small businesses and small churches and small ideas like ours that say, yes, we can be queer and Christian. Rick, that was the second?
That sounds fantastic. And I know neither one of you know what I'm about to say, so I'm going to just kind of surprise you. But anybody who's listening to this program, whether you're listening live or you do the podcast, if you are interested in participating and donating to the project, the first five people that donate to the project, again, it's $20 for a kit. So if you want to donate $20 for a kit and really support this powerful work that's being done, the first five donations between now and November 15th, I am going to match those donations. So really, woo! Two donations, price of one. That's 10 kits total that would go out. So make your $20 donation, and then Coming Out Coach Rick is going to match that.
That's awesome.
And I just, because I believe so wholeheartedly in this, that no matter where you stand on the issue, it's about love, compassion, and allowing each and every person to live in this world in their way, in a belief system that says it's all about love and what would Jesus do. And I think that's really the bottom line here, is allowing people to be people. So we've got a few minutes left. I want to ask each of you a question, and it's the same question. If you could make any one change in the world right now, you're going to have to keep it really short and succinct because we're going to be running out of time soon, but if you could make any one change in the world right now, what would you do, Mason?
Any one change? To me, youth work is very much at the center of how I feel in the world and what I feel passionate about. So I would make sure that no young person had to sleep on the street or did not have a safe place to be
and had adequate food and shelter. That's the one thing I would do, which I think also goes beyond this faith piece that we're talking about. So for a lot of people that are hearing this right now and are not necessarily people of faith, that again, that when we're talking about LGBTQ issues, a lot of the rhetoric we're hearing is around this religious space. So we as allies, we as LGBTQ folks need to be having these conversations to make the things that I was just even saying around young people being safe happen, that we need to be part of these conversations as they're happening at the political level.
Great. And what about you, Crystal?
You know, the one thing that I would change, it would definitely deal with the churches, and they would be the foundational source, the places where these youth were running to instead of running from when they find out that they are gay, lesbian, transgender, queer, and bisexual, and being pushed, you know, and being told that they are not enough, that they have to change, that they are broken, that the churches would be the ones opening their doors and saying, come here, come here, come here. We need your talent. We need your voice. We need the tools that you actually bring to a church body, which is supposed to be like a community center where you go and you have fun and you find networks and friends and things like that. But that's not what's happening. And, you know, what's actually happening is, you know, our churches are dying. They're saying that America isn't a Christian nation anymore. It's not a religious nation. And that's because, you know, we're biting the hand that feeds us. The youth are our livelihood. And if I could change one thing, that's exactly what it would be.
Wow. Well, I have to thank both of you for being on the show. I can't wait to meet you both in a couple of weeks. And again, it's the Identity Project and Soul Force. The information's up on the show page on toginet.com at the Coming Out Lounge. And I have to say, this has been one of the best shows I've done because it comes from a heart perspective of where I grew up and on belief systems. And nobody should have to choose, in my mind, between their spirituality, their religion, and their identity as who they are as an individual, because I honestly believe our maker doesn't make any mistakes. So as we wind down today, I want to say thank you once again, both of you, for being here. Next week, we're going to have a really powerful show where we talk about the world of being a gay parent, but coming from a perspective of how do you choose to become that parent, whether it's surrogacy, whether it's adoption. We're going to have a great friend of mine on who is a therapist, and I'm going to let his name remain kind of a secret right now, but well, no, I won't. His name is Elliot, and he is fabulous. He's from Boston, and we're going to have a great time. So see you all next week. Thank you for tuning into the Coming Out Lounge, and have a great week, and step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth each and every day.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.